Anyway, tonight's message, Jesus sends us. We're going to be looking at Matthew 10, Mark 6, Luke 9. All three of these locations share about, I'm actually going to be reading some scriptures off of Mark 6. So if you want to go to Mark 6, verse 7, 7 through 13, actually, I'm going to be reading that. But if you're taking notes, you can also write down Matthew 10, verse 5. And then Luke chapter 9, verses 1, and in these locations we find where Jesus, he does something that I believe that he does so today. He just doesn't round us up like he rounded up the 12 here in Mark chapter 6, and specifically face-to-face he told them what to do. But I believe as believers in Jesus Christ, God is always wanting us. He's always sending us. Matter of fact, when you leave your house tomorrow morning to go to work, understand and know this, God is sending you. You don't have that job just to have that job. You have that job and God wants to orchestrate some certain things in your life that if you are fine-tuning to his voice, you'll go to the right place. You'll go to the right place for lunch if you go out, you know, off premises for lunch. You'll go to the right place to be served by someone who's really dealing with some issues. And God might just certain things like that. Whenever we leave our home, God is sending us to go and proclaim him. And so as disciples of Christ, we must fine-tune our ears and hearts to listen for his voice and to read his word with the purpose of applying it. And so if you are reading through the Bible with us, I'm thankful that you are. If you're not, you can jump right on in. We're starting week 4 tomorrow. And so if you need some time to catch up, you're more than welcome to catch up. And so let's go to Mark chapter 6, verse 7 through 13. And it says, "And he called the 12 to himself." This is Jesus. Why do I know that? Well, because not just because my title says Jesus sends out 12, but if you'll notice sometimes when it talks about Jesus himself or he, it's capital H. And so it says to the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two. Kind of sounds like Noah, right? Two by two. And gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff. A walking stick, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts. They actually had fanny packs back then. I'm sorry. In their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. Verse 10, and he said to them, it's in red, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. You ever wonder why Jesus said this? Because as he was sending them, he was going with them. The authority of God was going with them. When you leave tomorrow your house, know that the presence of Almighty God goes with you. That's why we're to be aware and be attentive to wherever he leads and guides us, what he wants us to do, what he wants us to say. Verse 12, so they went out and preached that people should repent, and they cast out many demons. Now, this is already telling us what's happened, okay? So they went out. They preached that people should repent. Verse 13, they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick. And what does it say? And healed them. So as they went, God, it wasn't them, it was God through them, and mighty things happened. So tomorrow morning you say, God, I don't know what you got in store for me, but man, use me so that mighty things will happen for your glory. Not mine, but for your glory and honor. Father, we thank you for your word today. We pray, Father God, that you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, give us revelation. Jesus, you're still sending people out. You're still sending us out. Lord, I pray that we are attentive, that we're obedient. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus sends them with a purpose. Jesus has already modeled taking the gospel to others. So see, before he sends them, we find that Jesus has already modeled what he's telling them to do. See, the people, the Jews, is what he had in the Matthew's account. It says to not go to certain places, but to go to the people or the house of Israel. That was the focus. This is relatable to us today because there are still people who need to repent. All right. There are still people who need to be prayed over. Some of you probably got neighbors. You're like, yeah, they really need to be prayed over. Yeah, that's true. And there are still people who need to be healed. But who do we send out? Ask yourself that question. Matter of fact, ask the Lord that question. Lord, who do I send out? Because we're looking at Jesus as the great example of a disciple, a discipler, one who disciples. And if we're supposed to be Christ-like, then we ought to get to the place in our walk with Christ where we begin to pour into someone and disciple someone else. I believe this is something that the Lord's going to lead us this year. And please understand this. God is not, I don't believe that God expects you to have 1,000 people that you've discipled in 2020. But man, if you learn to just disciple one, because the Lord told you to disciple one. Now, I'm not saying aim low. I'm saying aim high. Where God, whoever you want me to pour into, I want to pour into them. We can look at Jesus, and he was a great example of what he was telling them to do, because this is what he was doing. He was bringing the kingdom of God to this place. And he actually says later on, I think in Luke's account, that the kingdom of God is at hand or near. He was bringing the kingdom. And now he's sending these 12 with the authority of God, with the power to pray upon those who have demons and to loose those demons from those people, to lay hands on the sick so that they'll recover and be healed. So it wasn't the disciples that what they had and they had. It was their persona and their attitude or the way they walked. No, it was the Spirit of God. It was God's anointing. It was Jesus's authority that he was placing on them, that when he sent them. This is why it's really important we read at what Jesus said. I'm going to read it again, verse 10. In whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Why do you think that? Because they weren't there on their behalf. They were there on Jesus'. So if they're not going to accept you, shake off, dust off your feet, that house, or leave that city. It wasn't the fact that I'm not sure how many of you ever share the gospel or try to witness and people revile you or make fun of you or maybe even persecute you a little. Try not to take offense to that, because they're not doing it to you, because you're not there on your behalf. You're not there on your authority or by your spirit. You're there because God is anointing you. God is placing you. God is speaking to you, and you have the authority. Hello, the Great Commission, right? Jesus was the one that said, all authority has been given to me. And this is what I'm telling you to do. Go make disciples, teaching them, baptizing them. And lo, I'll be with you always. And that's why he was telling them, wherever you go, people don't receive you. People don't want to receive what you're saying. You know what? Just shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them, and how horrible it's going to be for that city. It will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment for that city. So they went out and they obeyed. My first point is that those who disciple lead the way in doing, not just saying. Can I have this first slide? This is one picture I thought was really cool, that someone who disciples. Now, if the person up there is discipling, hopefully, of course, the picture doesn't show us, but hopefully there was somebody before them that pulled them up. You see, as we disciple others, it's because someone has taught or poured into us, and now we're able, because of Christ's authority, we're able to disciple and pull someone else up. We're able to help, follow to lead. We got to learn to follow to lead. And Jesus mentioned, in order to be a leader, you got to be a servant. You got to learn how to serve people in order for you to lead. Why? So that if you learn how to serve and you serve correctly, when it comes time to lead, you know how to teach how to serve. Why? Because you did it yourself. So it's very important that we learn as the disciples were learning, and as Jesus sent them out, in order for us to see the importance of us going out as we are sent, We need to see what Jesus said and what he did and how he gave the authority to these disciples and what he told them to do. Because it came from somewhere that they were able, in verse 12, that they were able to preach this gospel, that people would repent, that they would be able to cast out many demons, that they were able to anoint with oil many who were sick and healed them. It came from somewhere. It came from the power of God. Jesus did and said only what the Father did. And I want us to just go through a couple of scriptures here. John chapter 5, verse 18. And these are just verses where we find that it just points out, clarifies that everything that Jesus did or said was because he got it from the Father. And therefore he tells us. So we get it from our Savior. So then when we pour into someone, we pour into a student or we pour into a young believer. And so in turn, it's just like a domino effect. It just goes on to other people. So in John chapter 5, verse 18, it says, therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill Jesus because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Oh, how dare he? Because he's telling the truth. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. This is discipleship right here. Seeing what the Father does, saying what the Father told him to say. So for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. John chapter 8, verse 25. People said to Jesus, who are you? Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. John chapter 8, verse 25. Now verse 26. I have many things to say to you, to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I heard of him, of God. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father, capital F. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who went and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. John chapter 12, verse 49. Jesus says, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me. But the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Do you remember when they're Peter and John, they were walking into the temple and there was a lame man. Looked and Peter looked at him and gazed upon him. The guy was just calling for alms and alms. And what did Peter say? He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you. What did he have? Where did he get it from? He got it from Jesus. He got it from God the Father, who called us and instructed us and commanded us to go into all the world. And so what he gave to that man who was lame didn't come from Peter. It came from God. The authority and the power and the anointing that God comes upon every single one of us, because Peter's no different than any one of us. Peter needed Jesus to be his Savior. You need Jesus to be your Savior. And the Spirit of the living God that was inside Peter is the same Spirit of the living God that dwells within every believer. Amen. This should reassure everyone that our going out to the world is direct instruction from the Father. I read what Jesus said, and everything that he said came from the Father. So everything that we read of what Jesus said and he's instructing us to do, we ought to understand this. It's coming from directly from the main top, the main Alpha and Omega, the main El Shaddai, Almighty God, who's instructed us, not just the preacher or the teacher, but every one of us, even if you're not a preacher or a teacher. I mentioned last week that we press in to the instructions of the Lord to lead us to those that we are responsible for, responsible to disciple, responsible to encourage, responsible to exhort. I believe that there are people in your life that you may not be, you may not have that, that responsibility to train them and to be there and to call them and to invite them to prayer, but you're responsible to encourage them. They're just one of the many other people that you can encourage and exhort. Why? Because they're a part of your family, the family of God. And I believe that every part of the family of God ought to work together to encourage, to love, to exhort, and to encourage to continue to walk for Christ. So Matthew 28, we find that it speaks of the Great Commission, verses 18 through 20. And so Matthew 28 wasn't only given to the outgoing. It wasn't only given to the confident. It wasn't only given to the extroverts. So you introverts and shy people, you don't get a pass on this. The Great Commission is to every believer. Doesn't matter your IQ. Doesn't matter which side of the tracks you were born on or grew up in. It doesn't matter what family you were part of. What matters is that now you are a part of the family of God, born again, filled with God's Holy Spirit. So therefore, all of us have been entrusted with this great responsibility, the Great Commission. Regardless if I'm outgoing or if I'm shy, if I'm confident or if I'm so unsure of myself. Every one of us can or will be able to encourage or instruct someone. Just like that picture. If you've gone through something, you are a prime candidate or a great person to talk to for someone who's going through the same situations that you went through. Why? Because you could tell them how God came through. You can tell them how you prayed and how you trusted the Lord. And how you can encourage them. Just hey, look, I got some scriptures. I wrote them down. I wrote them on with a wax pen on my mirror in my bathroom. And I saw it every day and I quoted it. And that scripture, man, that's my life scripture. And share that with somebody because you went through it and you didn't go through it alone. Now, Shannon and I, we can share with you. Of course, she could probably share more stories because of her growing up. But if you are under the weather, coming to church is the best place to come. We brought our kids to church. Yeah, we might have sat in the back row while they fell asleep, but we brought them to God's house, believing, Lord, we're going to take them to the elders of the church. They're going to pray over them. And many, many, many times they went home next day, waking them up to go to school, fever's gone. They feel fine. Cough is gone. Right, Shannon? Many times. We can share that because we've experienced that. Now, if we've never experienced that, if we didn't have any kids, don't come talking to me about any, what do I do with my kids or what do I do with my teenager? I'd be like, you know, tell them what Brian says. Give them some Robitussin, throw them in the room. Tell them to go to sleep, you know. They'll be quiet, you know. I mean, so if we didn't have kids, but because we do have kids, we can share some things about what to do. I didn't grow up this way. Shannon did. You know, her parents taught her so many more things. I grew up, my mom would, you know, slap some Vicks vapor rub on my neck and have me drink two or three, potions or whatever, mom potions and nasty stuff I'd have to drink. Some pink medicine. Oh, disgusting. I mean, but that's how my mom took care of things. Still here, you know. I ate white bread. I'm still here, you know. But when you've trusted the Lord and you've stood ground on his word, you are able to encourage those that are just learning. Just how do you do that? You know, what do you do when your kids are going through this and that? And then you're able to share some scripture. Scriptures that pulled you through. Scriptures that you stood on. Amen. And so every one of us can or will be able to encourage or instruct someone. It's important that we model the encouragement and instruction first, though. We got to be able to go through that. And we look at how Jesus did this, where he went to bring the gospel, the gospel of the kingdom to this world. And he encouraged these 12. So what are some encouragements that we can give to young believers? And this is not necessarily based on their age. We could find someone in this room who's, you know, a young believer in Christ and they're in their 30s or 40s. And yet there are some younger people who've been living for the Lord longer than they have. And have experience of trusting God and how God came through because of prayer and persistent prayer. And so it doesn't have to, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's according to age. But what are some encouragements that you can give someone? Anyone? What are some encouragements? Shout out. Some encouragement that you could share with someone who is really going through a hard time. Great game. Okay. What? Pray with them. Any scripture verses that come to your mind that encourage you? Huh? Romans 8:28. All things work together for good for those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. Anybody else? Yes, Jacob. Patience. Yeah, amen. Miss Tammy? God hears our prayers. You ever feel this way? Anybody in here? You don't have to raise your hand. You pray that you pray prayers and it feels like it doesn't go past the ceiling. Yeah. Our Heavenly Father hears the prayers of the righteous. His ears are open to our cries. And if we know that that doesn't come from me. That's God's word. That his ears are open to their cries. And so sometimes we like to, and I was thinking about saying this earlier, but we kind of like microwave prayers where we pray a prayer in 20 seconds. We want to see the results right away. And a lot of time we just got to dig our feet in and just pray and know that this is what God's word says. And for those of you that have done that and have learned that is a profitable thing, there is some encouragement that you can give to some people. Like some of those verses that you've stood on. Those of you that lack wisdom, man, I know there are many times that we've lacked wisdom, but we've asked for God for wisdom and that he's given it to us. And man, it is just so awesome that how God works things out. And I don't have to do a thing, but just trust and wait on him. And he works it out. So it's an amazing thing. And some instructions that we can give to someone. Hey, listen, I know that you don't see this fasting thing. You might not have seen anything miraculous, but you've done a spiritual exercise. And that spiritual exercise, you will see something come out of that. The Lord will reveal something to you. It might be in a time of a devotion. It might be the actual thing that you were praying for, but it will come to fruition. It will come to pass. Whatever we do spiritually, there will be a manifestation in some sort, and God will respond. Amen. So take a moment to ask yourself, man, do I do this? Do I encourage young believers to continue to walk in the faith? Do I encourage a young believer who I know that's going through something that I went through? You know, have I ever slipped them a verse and said, hey, listen, this is a verse that has helped me and I just want to share it with you. I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but man, this verse saved my life. It's one of my life verses. It's okay to do that. Encourage someone. Instruct someone. Hey, listen, I know, what other people say, but you know what? If you will just trust the Lord, put the Lord first in every area of your life, you'll see God follow through. Mark 6:33, I've seen God just bring that to pass. When I put him first and his kingdom first, every necessity or everything that I have, God adds to it because that's what it says. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added thereunto. If you're adding something, that means there's something already there. So he'll add it to whatever your need is. And so point two, follow instruction. Let's go to slide two. Follow directions. It says in John 4, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him for they know his voice. Will you follow directions? We need to be tuned into the voice of the Lord so that we can follow his direction. And this is what these 12 disciples did. They followed the directions. That's why we can come to verse 12 and find out that many people or that they preached that people ought to repent, that there were demons that were cast out of people. And that they anointed many who were sick and many were healed. Sounded like some difficult instructions. Let's go to Luke chapter 9. Because in this passage, we find that he gives them some instructions. And it seems kind of difficult. Of course, Luke 6 also, but let's see, Mark 9, verse 1. I mean, Luke 9, sorry, Luke 9. I'm confusing you, sorry. Luke 9, verse 1, it says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither staves, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. And so these are the instructions. Don't take anything with you. I was thinking, Lord, why not take anything with them? It wasn't supposed to be a very long journey. They were supposed to go. Don't take extra sack of food. Don't take any money. I'm going to provide for you. And so it says, take nothing for the journey. Sometimes God will give you some difficult instructions. Many times we say, but God, what, why? But God, I want to do it this way. Go and only with what you have, nothing else. Don't carry it. There's no need for other stuff. Basic essentials. Nothing else to carry. Pack light. I wondered, man, to pack light, maybe it's because they are traveling farther. Pack light, maybe because they're not going to be out for long, for very long. And so I remember my time of carrying a rucksack and going on hikes. And when I was in the military, it was a good thing to carry a light pack, but they checked your packs to make sure you had every item that you needed so that you're not cheating, so that it's lighter. So you had to have what you needed to have. But a pack light, you travel farther. A pack or a light pack, you travel farther. A light pack, you're not going to be gone very long. And so the instructions may seem difficult to understand or to follow. But if the Lord is leading us and giving us these instructions, we ought not to be stubborn. Now, many stubborn people have a difficulty to follow directions. Not sure how many of you are stubborn. And maybe it's not a prideful thing. Maybe it's some are overconfident. Maybe you don't want to, flat out and say it's a prideful thing. But the fact that I've been there, I've done that, you don't have to show me. But even in situations like that, the Lord wants to teach us or to train us, like the verse that Jacob mentioned in James chapter 1, that we go through trials to work patience. Sometimes even if we know what to do and how to do it, be very aware of when the Lord says, I don't care how to do it. I'm just wanting you to do it this way. And then what do we normally say? But God, I've done it this way before. But God, I know. And a lot of times we just need to learn to follow the directions. Mark 6:12 through 13, it says, because they followed directions, they didn't carry what they were supposed to carry. They went out. It says that they went out and preached the gospel. They cast out many demons and anointed many who were sick and healed them. Just think of the times that you were given instructions and that you were to follow them, but you didn't. I don't want to miss out an opportunity to lay my hands upon the sick and they'll recover. I don't want to miss out an opportunity to preach to the people or to share the gospel so that some people can repent. The instructions were followed and it's awesome, but sometimes they didn't follow or they didn't respond well, such as in Mark chapter 4, we're not going to go there, that when Jesus was asleep in the boat. If you remember that Jesus says, let us go and let us go to the other side. He already stated in that, he made a statement in that sentence, they're getting to the other side. But while they were in the boat and the storm came, verse 38 says, Jesus was in the stern asleep on a pillow. They awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? He probably should have said, didn't I tell you we're going to the other side? How are we going to go to the other side if we're going to perish in the middle? So we're going to the other side. And so he stood up, verse 39, and says, then he arose, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Listen, sometimes we need to take... really need to listen when the Lord rebukes us. The Lord, I mean, he's rebuking them. Where's your faith? The times that you take matters into your own hands, listen for the voice of the Lord when he says, why didn't you listen to me? Why didn't you believe me? Why did you take matters into your own hands? A lot of times Jesus doesn't just say a bunch of all rosy, nice things to make us feel good or, butter us up. There are times that he's really pointing at things and says, do you really love that? Do you really want to do that? And where were you? Like he told the disciples, could you not tarry 1 hour? Could you not tarry 1 hour? Isn't my presence, coming into my presence worth 1 hour? Isn't spending time in prayer worth it, coming to talk with me? I want to talk with you. So just listen, say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for the times that I'm not listening. Forgive me for the times that I'm not following directions. As sheep, they learn the shepherd's voice, and the sheep learn, even as we say they're dumb, they learn the voice. And they learn the voice so good that it says that they will not go to some other voice nor listen to another. They're smart in that area, that they hear the voice of the shepherd and they will not go to another voice. So see, the disciples, they failed to remember or listen to what Jesus said when he said, let us go to the other side. And may we say, Lord, help me to listen and follow your directions. We many times fail to remember or fail not to do what God would want us to do. Go to that image there, Jacob. I found this image because if that's you, don't get beat up and down by yourself. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right? I just found this, that the fact that, listen, if you've fallen for something, if you didn't follow the directions right, like Shannon said this morning, just ask the Lord, forgive me, Lord. And then start from there and start doing the right things. Start listening to the instructions and applying them. So even when Jesus said, how is it that you have no faith? I wonder how many of us have ever done this before. What the scripture doesn't say it, but what if the disciples said, well, I guess we don't have any faith then, Jesus. I'm just going to catch the next boat back and I'm just going to go back to what I do. And we just totally just give up and say, well, forget this stuff. I'm just not going to. I mean, I'm glad we don't read in scripture that that's what. But what did they keep doing? They kept following Jesus, didn't they? Kept trying to apply what he said, trying to listen to what he was doing. And they asked questions, even when he talked about parables that went right over their head. Later on, while they were alone, Master, what does this parable mean? They were learners. They were people. That's what I mentioned last week, man. Say, Lord, help me to be a good student, listening student, an obedient student to you, my master. Which brings me to my last point. Be prepared the next time. When God sends you, my last slide, we're going to go to Luke chapter 10. Now, these are some things that you probably realize at one point, I need to be ready the next time. How many of you ever got caught in a torrential downpour and you don't have an umbrella? But you know what? Days or weeks later, there was an umbrella in your car or right outside your front door. We buy an umbrella every now and then and it just goes up missing. Or how about how many of you have ever bought a car or there was one that was given to you? You went on a long trip and it went right over your head to even think about, does this car have a spare? Does this car have a tire iron? What if I have a flat? What do I do? Those of you that are high tech, you'd be like, I'm just going to go ahead and push my car insurance and I'm going to have someone come and help me and rescue me. You could save time and possibly money if you have those things. And then, of course, good old breath mints. How many of you ever gone to a meeting to go talk to somebody and after they left, you realized something died and you just ate it and that's what it smells like? You know, smells like you just ate something that died in your mouth or whatever. I mean, and you realize you're like, oh, no, I prayed for them. Or, oh, I gave them a hug and I was talking to them. You know, I mean, just shocked that they didn't, you know, pass out right in front of you. But you find out that until things that you needed, but you did something about, hopefully you did something about it and you bought, you know, those mints or whatever. But I share that picture to kind of give us, my last point was to be prepared the next time. Okay, I don't have an umbrella, but I'm going to do what I need to do to be prepared the next time. So I do have an umbrella in my truck. I'm not sure if you have an umbrella in your van. And we do have tire iron, a tire kit, and we do have a spare that is functional. And we do carry breath mints. I have a pack of breath mints. I have some gum in my truck, just in case I have coffee breath or, you know, bad breath. And I don't want to, you know, cause anybody to be not slain in the spirit, but slain by my breath. And so Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, it says, after these things, you see, when Jesus sent the 12, we don't know if they did everything right. How many of you always like to point out certain things that you might have done something, but you can always, you're really hard on yourself. You point out something that you didn't do right. Yeah, I'm one of them, right? And other people are going to be like, oh, that was fine. You did great. No. And you're kind of hard on yourself. And so here, Luke 10, we find that Jesus, he sends 70. And let's read this again. He says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also. Now, I went through commentaries, 70 others also. And this is the New Living Translation. I'm already thinking plus the 12. But I couldn't find any commentary that suggested 82. Okay? So it says 70. So we're just going to go to 70. Now, one version, New Living Translation, says 72. All right? You put New Living Translation. But I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. The New King James Version says 70. And sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lamb among wolves. That's difficult instructions to follow. What? You're already telling me I'm a lamb among wolves and that's where you're sending me? This is not a walk in the park. And so he sends the 70. But notice in verse 2, this is the reason why he sent the 12. Why the 12 went to tell people to repent, lay hands upon those that had demons and to set them free from those demons and lay hands upon the sick so that they can be healed. It says the harvest truly is great. Today, the harvest is still truly great, but the laborers are few. You know what? Sadly, laborers are still few. You go find companies like Barna Research and just go on barna.org and then type in how many believers share their faith. You'll be shocked when you find out the statistic according to the actual surveys that they did. I don't know who they polled or who they called, and they polled and they asked them the question and found out if they're believers in Christ and how often do they share their faith. You will find that, you know what? There are still few laborers. But Jesus is saying, therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And he tells them, go your way. Behold, I send you out as lamb among the wolves. Again, this is not a fun and energizing set of instructions. I got to be a lamb among wolves. Does that mean I'm going to die? Does that mean there's going to be harm? It's a sign of difficulty. Yet Jesus says, I send you out. Are you sending me to the bad part of the neighborhood? Are you sending me to the hood, Lord? Are you? I mean, there are certain places in Chicago you don't want to be found in, especially at night. And you don't want to go to certain places. But this is where the Lord is sending them as lamb among wolves. Do you think he's sending them to Disney World? No, he's sending them to a difficult place, to a place that it's going to be difficult. Lamb among wolves. The basic necessity rule still applies. Keep the same focus. Keep the same focus as the 12 was the focus, to go and present the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The purpose remained the same, for people to repent, demons to be cast out, people to be healed, and it's still the same today. Continues, he says, carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals. This time it's nor sandals. Greet no one along the road. You ever think about that? Why not greet anyone along the road? Place to go, but some people are. Ooh. Listen, I've said this before, but I've taken account when I see people. Hey, how you doing? I better make sure that I'm making the time to stand there to find out how. If I don't, I'm a liar. Do I really care how they're doing? Really? No, it's just a kind comment. No, so I've kind of changed. I don't say, I just, what's up? You know, just shake the head, just go up there, you know, go, what's up? You know, that's, you know, but how you doing? That kind of just keeps me from saying that now. And so he says, greet no one along the road, but whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you and heal the sick there. Say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. This is the purpose. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, the very dust of your city, which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near to you. I say to you, that it will be more tolerable, and again, in the day of Sodom, than for that city. Ministry isn't always fun. The fun part is seeing the people's lives change. The difficult part is when God gives you instructions like, go, I send you as lambs among wolves, or go with no strings attached. That is a little scary sometimes. What do you mean no strings attached? Love on people even if they're going to turn their back on you. Reach out to people even if they're going to be friendly, but yet they don't come to the church ever again. This is the love of Christ that flows through every believer, regardless of how people will respond to my presentation or my demonstration of the gospel. I'm not here to, on my account, on my purpose, I'm here presenting who Jesus is on his account, with his purpose, with his anointing, and with God's Holy Spirit. The ministry of reaching the lost is still important today, as it was when Jesus sent the 12 and when Jesus sends the 70 and as Jesus sends us today. What is worthy of praise? See, because what finds out is that when they come back, verse 16, real quick, I'm about to close. Verse 16, he says, he who hears me, I'm going to drop down to verse 19. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I'm sorry, this is Luke 10, verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You see, the 70 came back and they were excited. Lord, even the demons are subject to your name. And this happened and that happened. And Jesus kind of just brought it down to them to understand. Look, that's all good that what they did. But rejoice in this, that your names are written in heaven. What is worthy of praise besides the acts of our ministry and what we do for the kingdom? Jesus is saying, what is worthy of praise is that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. These are Jesus' words. We choose to look at this book with our names written in it as something of great praise, then hopefully we will be even more excited to declare kingdom of God come near. I pray that you would be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, to the voice of God, that as he sends you out, even tonight when you leave this place, as he sends you out, know this, you've heard the gospel, you're a believer in Christ, the Lord is going to send you out. Be receptive to his voice and the leading of his Holy Spirit so that you too can do what the 12 did, what the 70 did, and it's not going to be so exciting that we get to praise all the great things and they're going to be good. But to even praise and have and understand that what is more worthy of praise is that our names are written in the Lamb's book of life, because we've declared the kingdom of God has come near to you.